and with a strong sense of integrity. He was gerrymandered out of his district, and by that I mean they threw him into a district with a really right-wing Republican who would beat him on the Trump thing. Right-wing Republican sucked up to Trump. Adam Kinzinger stood tall, so what Trump did was wrong, and it looks like he couldn't win there, so he decided not to seek re-election. It's a big loss to the House. He's got to stay in government. I'm hoping that Joe Biden picks him up in his administration somewhere in a good position in one of the agencies. But anyway, he and Elaine Luria are going to head this commission hearing, and they both spoke about it. And here's what they're going to do: said we are going to go through 187 minutes of what occurred on January 6th. Why 187 minutes? That's the amount of time when Trump stepped down from the podium after inciting the crowd to go up with weapons and storm the Capitol, to 417 when he sent out the tweet saying, I love you, time to go home. Wasn't any condemnation of what happened. Five people died, but I love you, time to go home. That 187 minutes... And, you know, there was testimony by Stephen Ayers, that guy who I felt was very compelling the other day. He was just an average guy, got swept up by Trump, went out there, went into the Capitol. He didn't hit anybody, but he criminally trespassed, was charged, convicted. But he lost his job. His boss fired him, lost his house because he had no money. Thank God he has a wife and kids who stood by him. But he came across very honest. He said, I just believe Trump. I believe Trump. You know, and so I went there, and my commander-in-chief said, go to the Capitol. And with a guy like that, I'll tell you what, if I were on a jury, he came across real honest, he didn't hurt anybody, I'd be tempted to say, you know, Donald Trump, as a member, as the head of the executive branch, is the head of the General Services Administration, which manages government buildings, is the head of the military. If your commander-in-chief says, you know, let's march and go here, and you go there, and you don't do anything bad while you're there, the fact that you went there at his insistence, I don't know, if I'm on a jury, I'm going to give that a lot of thought, whether I'm going to convict this guy. But in any event, he got convicted. But the sad thing about this is, in that 187 minutes, there are a lot of bad people, there are a lot of Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, people that hit the police, almost killed the police. Actually, several did die by suicide. But The truth of the matter is there were some people there who he duped and he destroyed their lives. And in that 187 minutes, I expect they'll go along as a timeline. And they'll say, okay, here's the minute, you know, 51, where this police officer was almost kicked to death and had to say, please, I have four kids. Here's one where an officer got his eye gouged out. Here's one where his head was squeezed in the door and he was screaming. Here's one where a police officer had to shoot somebody and kill them to prevent them from getting in. Here's a scene from the White House. You know, Trump is there chortling, saying maybe Pence needs it. 187 minutes of this is very compelling. It's a, if you've ever seen a jury trial, the day by day or hour by hour rendition can be very, very powerful. And here, especially so. 87 minutes is 3 hours and 7 minutes. 3 hours and 7 minutes, I mean, you can drive from, I think you can drive from Milwaukee to Eau Claire, maybe a little farther, maybe a lot farther, depending on how fast you drive. That's a long time for an armed mob to be in a Capitol looking to kill the vice president, the Speaker of the House, and physically attacking police officers, beating them with poles, dragging them down the stairs by their heels so that their heads bumped hard against each step. Now, you know, anybody would find that very dangerous, but if you, you know, especially, you know, anybody who isn't 20 years old and an Olympic athlete, you get dragged down and it keeps bumping, you're gonna get a subdural hematoma. You're gonna have very, very severe consequences. A guy, eye gouged out, finger ripped off. Trump's in the White House grinning, his son's girlfriend jumping up and down, They're all grinning, and people are sending in texts. Even the right-wing nuts that have so badly hurt the country now. Say Kevin McCarthy sends them Meadows. Kevin McCarthy, because he was a minority leader, actually got through to Trump. Said, you got to call this off. You know, they're saying, hang Mike Pence. And Trump goes, well, Kevin, maybe they care more about their country than you do. This is what Trump says. This is what he says. And somebody said, wait a minute, he's saying hang Mike Pence. Well, maybe he deserves it. Maybe Mike deserves to what? To be murdered? Assassinated by a mob? Maybe he deserves it. This guy isn't fit to be president. Guy isn't fit to be president. But anyway, he wasn't the only one. All the right-wing nuts on Fox call him, or text him, or text Meadows, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, the rest of them. This country, by the way, has three major propaganda outlets working against us for the good of the country. One of them is Russian state TV. The second one is Al Jazeera. And the third one is Fox News. And even they this time said you got to call it off, and now they're defending it. The guy who takes the cake, in my view, is a guy from Texas. On the video, he's the guy in the blue shirt. He's in the house. He's a congressman. He's pushing big furniture up against the door so the mob doesn't get in and kill him. Kill Pence, kill Pelosi, kill them all. Then the guy's interviewed yesterday on MSNBC, and he's smoking a little cigar, a cheroot. And a really brazen, wise guy, you know, punk kind of guy. And the reporter goes up to him and says, you know, you were there barricading the doors so they wouldn't kill you. I'm with Trump 100%. He was dismissive. Very crude, rude. These people all check their manhood somewhere in the bus station baggage claim or something. They really did. They really did. Adam Schiff said there are 200 Elise Stefanik's in the House among the Republicans. He's right. What he means by that is Elise Stefanik was a moderate Republican congresswoman from upstate New York. And then when the Republicans decided to get rid of Liz Cheney as the number three, they go to Lee Stefanik, said, how would you like to be number three, but you've got to support Trump? She said, great, count me in. Suddenly, she's one of the most vicious pro-Trump supporters. She just went like that. Kevin McCarthy's the same way. Steve Scalise is the same way. He's the number two. The two of them went to, you know, made her a bargain. And so Adam Schiff said, there are 200 of them in the Senate caucus who are all in the House caucus, Republican, who are all Lee Stefanik's. So be sure to tune in. That timeline is going to be compelling. It's going to be compelling. And in accord with what I just said in the previous segment about this going very much to a criminal phase, and I mean against Trump, maybe against Mark Meadows, some of Trump's inner circle and running dogs are trying to gather around Trump and blame Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows is the saddest, most degraded, most servile individual I think I've seen in politics, other than Lindsey Graham. Mark Meadows, he first cooperated, turns over emails. He knew that this was a scam. But then what he did was, he said, by the way, the communications director was Elisa Farah Griffin, and she put in her resignation on December 2nd after the election, saying, well, I'm going to find other work. And he went to her and he said, don't resign. Trump's going to stay in office. How's that possible? He said, well, they've come up with a theory, a constitutional theory. This is Mark Meadows even back then. Mark Meadows was the one who let in General Flynn, the Giuliani, Sidney Powell, to the Oval Office for a meeting to overturn the election. And they had drafted up an executive order saying that the Secretary of Defense has ordered the military to seize all voting machines. And it's only because Pat Cipollone got word of it, because Cassidy Hutchinson called him. She saw what was going on. And she said he set a land record getting to the Oval Office, speeding and running in. Who the hell are you? Eric Hirschman, the other lawyer, was there. And they had a shouting match for 6 hours. Curses. invitations to fight. I'm not kidding. In the Oval Office, I think Hirschman got into it with Flynn, or I forget, maybe Giuliani, probably Flynn. This is what went on. This is what went on. So this 187 minute by minute rendition of what happened is going to be very important. And to underline the gravity of it, not only has the January 6th Commission sent to the Justice Department the tampering evidence, but we just learned they've also sent to the Justice Department their fake elector evidence. Now, the Justice Department has a parallel investigation in that. They have subpoenas out. They've talked to people. But so has the January 6th Commission. And this is a very welcome development, because what this means is that they're getting together. There isn't this turf fighting. It's too important for there to be turf fighting on this one. Too important to be turf fighting on this one. And they sent this information over to them. The final piece of evidence that sort of rings into this is that there is very reliable information coming to a lot of media outlets that Trump is obsessed with these hearings, these commission hearings. He's fuming about it. And he keeps badgering friends about the January 6th hearings playing out as in front of him. And what do you think? What are my chances? What is this guy's chances? Can we do this? Can we do that? Now, he's doing this with enough people, and not all of them have stayed loyal to him, that this is getting out. So this is getting to him. And, you know, I'll tell you what. He is a guy, he obsesses, and... if Merrick Garland gets this information, this degree of information, and says that I am not going to prosecute somebody because he's a former head of state, the former president, and it looks bad, and normally it would. You don't just go after the prior guy. But who said he ordered an armed mob he knew to be armed simply because he didn't think they were out there to hurt him, orders them up to the Capitol, knowing that they will hurt someone. And in this timeline that's coming up, it'll be at minute 51, this one gets killed. Minute 100 or, you know, minute 89, this one gets killed. This one gets trampled. And you have people exulting in the White House. That's, you know, not unlike what led up to the French Revolution, where let them eat cake, Marie Antoinette and the King Louis. And they just sit back and they watch this. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.